All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BKFC 39, which transpires on March the 24th. A very intriguing co-main event bout, and very intriguing to see this strawweight championship defense as Britton Hart defends against Jenny Savage in a rematch, and always good getting to have Britton on the show. How's it going there, Britton?
Hey, yeah, I'm doing good. I'm really excited. I'm like on the countdown. I think we're 9 days away from the fight, so we're in the single digits. So I'm pumped. You know, we always have that as fighters, you know, the stress and anxiety and, you know, thinking, but I got my trunks delivered today in the mail, and that was like my magic power. I'm like ready to go.
Yeah, I love to hear that, and this seems like a big one. I mean, obviously, like, each fight you take, you treat it as, like, the biggest opportunity and everything, but just with this being, like, a big Virginia card and readying to defend the title, and, I mean, you described this chance as a dream come true in a past interview excerpt that I was seeing, so can you talk about the overall feelings with this one? It would seem like a big, like, milestone kind of moment.
Yeah, even though this fight is a rematch and, you know, I did beat her before, I'm not even really looking at that. You know, our bad blood is a different story. But what I really am looking at and what this dream come true is, this, you know, how symbolic it is about life coming full circle. I started in Virginia as a pro boxer and, you know, I didn't really have that many fans. If I was trying to sell tickets, it was like pulling teeth, you know. Everyone thought I was crazy. Everyone was like, nah, we're not. You know, you're going to get murdered on TV, like, just really negative and down. Yeah, I had a few, you know, ride or dies, and I have a few that really did believe in me, which is even more beautiful today, because now those people are messaging me, sending me screenshots. Oh, look, I bought my tickets. Oh, we can't wait to watch you fight. Oh, we got a table, you know, and I can't even keep up. Like, it's not even that I have to go out and hustle it. I literally can't keep up with my friends, family, and fans that are supporting me and coming for this fight. And so that really puts it in perspective, like, wow, not only did I have the few and very, very few that believed in me from the beginning, but now I have all these people that I earned that respect. I earned that love. I earned this ability to be a co-main event in such a big and beautiful venue such as the Scope in Norfolk, Virginia, and to go out there and do what I love, like, actually show my passion, and it's my first title defense ever. So not only did I make it, you know, to being a champion and won my belt in Montana, but now I'm defending it and bringing that belt to Virginia for the first ever BKFC fight. That really means something.
Yeah, and you articulated it very well there, just in terms of, like, where things were at when you were getting into, like, gloved boxing and everything, and how the support wasn't necessarily in abundance at that point. But I mean, you see the incremental rise in support, and I mean, you're in pretty rarefied air now, just in the sense you are getting ready for that 10th BKFC fight, and I mean, very few people fitting within that tier, and like you said, the first title defense as well. I would think it would be, you know, tremendously gratifying to just kind of, you know, be on that ride where, you know, you go from, like, there not being quite as much fanfare and just being early on to now being where you're at now, like I said, like, rarefied air in terms of the experience and defending a title.
Yep, absolutely.
And someone else that kind of fits within that a little bit too, just in terms of the depth of experience, but also the local connections. Like, it seems like you and Reggie Barnett Jr. have been doing some great stuff heading into this. Like, I believe you guys did a meet and greet, and it looks like you guys were even, like, training together and whatnot. Can you kind of talk a bit about that?
Yeah, that's another really beautiful scenario. So with Reggie, I actually, for my Beck Rawlings fight, so the first BKFC fight ever, I didn't have a coach. I was training myself at the YMCA. I was super freaked out about it and didn't know what to do. So I went and visited Reggie for a week for that Beck Rawlings fight, the very first one. And he showed me so much and poured so much knowledge, and his family was just so loving. I really took that 1 week, and yeah, I didn't win. You know, it's a controversy, we won't go into it, but it was a split decision. You know, a lot of people say I won. I thought I won. But regardless, I won the heart of a lot of people, you know, and that was my first very iconic bare knuckle fight. And that was with Reggie. So now, you know, I've been like all over, and I know people kind of getting used to it. No one even asks anymore, like, where are you living at now? It's just kind of like they've accepted who I am. And I was like, you know, I'm back in Virginia. It just wouldn't make sense to not go and revisit that. So I went out and I did the same thing. I went and spent a week with him. And, yeah, again, I can't even believe with the, you know, what, four years it's been since we've trained together. You know, I'm still learning so much from him. You know, he's leveling up. He's just somebody to really be a great role model and just inspiration. And we kind of give it back to each other because I remember Reggie coming up to me during one of my fights. I don't remember which one exactly it was, but it was one of the bare knuckle fights, and he came up and he says, "Britton, I want to be like you." And I looked at him like crazy, like, what? Like, no, like, I want to be like you. Like, you are amazing. You're great. Like, I'm trying to be like you. And he's just like, "Britton, you got it all wrong." And then, you know, that really stuck with me. Like, I'll never really forget that. Like that feeling inside, that connection, what he meant by it. So when we were training together, you know, again, sometimes as fighters we go down through, you know, our own little personal rabbit holes, and he was there and guiding me through that, and with the skill and knowledge of really what it means to be a people's champion. And sometimes when I watch Reggie, I really think, you know, I always believe myself to be a people's champ, but when I look at him, you know, he really is a people's champ. Like, everything he does is for his family, for his community, and he's just constantly giving back, like, every second. When we're going out to eat, he's not just eating with me and his family. He's going out and talking to people, giving the posters, saying exactly what everything's about. And you can just, you know, that passion and drive is so contagious and amazing. You know, I think so highly of him, and it kind of just motivates me, myself, to be like, man, if you're going to be a people's champ, that's really what it's about. And so, yeah, he gives me lessons in the ring and outside. And, you know, I'm happy he's the main event. I'm happy we're on the card together. I think that, you know, Virginia is in need of some heroes since, you know, Sweet Pea was such a legend out there. And I really think me and Reggie have what it takes to be the next legends for Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, a good shout-out there for sure. And, I mean, it seems like you very much try to personify that, like, you know, fighter of the people kind of ethos as well. Like, I was seeing a post you had a bit after you won the title, even, where you were saying, like, you let people hold the belt and wear it because you're a reflection of their love. So do you try to, like, I guess, take from that as well and kind of embody that ethos as well? Because it seems like you kind of have a similar connection to the fans as far as that, like, grassroots, like, you know, fighter of the people kind of thing.
Absolutely. I 100% believe that, and I think that every day. Anytime somebody tries to take a picture with me, I really am like, here. And they kind of, like, get intimidated by holding the belt. And it's kind of cool to see, like, that's, like, the power that's within this, like, you know, this tangible object, you know. But I, you know, I look at it like, look, you know, you guys are a reflection of what I did. Like, this is because of you. I look at that every day. Because when I die, I'm not going to take the belt with me. It's going to be buried with me. It's going to be, you know, put on display somewhere in some, you know, my home gym, or, you know, my kids will have it. And then people will look at it. And that's really what I want to be remembered by. And that's what I want it to always be, you know. And so it's very important that they have that feeling with me. So I still try to do that and live by that every day.
Yeah, I love to hear that. And I mean, we were talking about how you got to, like, work with Reggie and have got to do that on and off over the years. I'm kind of curious, like, where you're, you know, getting in that work now, because I mean, you've had a lot of, you know, great knowledge accrued over the years. Like, I know you had that prior work in Puerto Rico with, like, Lorenzo Hunt and Elvin Brito, but it seems like a bit more recently, like, Boxer Gym Miami with people like, you know, Caliap, Caroni and everything. It seems like that's kind of more part of the modern preparations, I guess. Is that the case? And if not, I mean, like, where are you predominantly training ahead of this one?
Right. No, those are all, you know, and I think some people might look at it bad sometimes, like, oh, she's a gym hopper and this and that, but, you know, it kind of just goes back to, like, man, it's for the people. And if it's truly for the people, for me, I'm thinking on a big scale, like, worldwide, not just in Virginia. And, you know, Kalia Pink Tyson, man, she was seriously, for my first title ever, like, she was my superpower training in Miami, and she was just perfect to work with. And, you know, it's actually very cool, and shout out to her. She's in London right now. She's training for a boxing match a day after mine. So I fight the 24th, and she fights the 25th. So even though we're not training together right now, we still have that camp together, we still have that knowledge, but we still have that love. We're still connected, and even though she's in a different country training for her own thing, we still have that, you know, that emotional connection, even from a distance, and inspire each other from whether it be posts or you know, personal messages. You know, I feel like every place has its, you know, its lessons and its blessings, and I always try to like end it on a good note so it can be like circled back, you know, and it doesn't always work out that way, but you know, there's certain things that we got to look at, you know, like I'm fighting the southpaw. It doesn't make sense, you know, if I'm in a gym that has a bunch of Orthodox people, it doesn't really make sense. It's not really going to help me meet that new challenge. And I kind of like put it as, if you really love me, unconditionally love me, and not just look at me as a dollar sign, you know, I'm gonna come back. Like, if it's real love, it's always gonna come back. And I go, and you see, I recircle the same gyms. I go back to the same gyms. It might not be, you know, over and over, but it'll be one here, and then I'll come back to it, go here. People change out of the gyms, the people, the new fighters that come out, and sometimes we gotta look at it as being like hermit crabs, you know, we're in one shell, and we want to get bigger. Sometimes we have to kind of go out and see what else is out there to make us adaptable and diverse for what we're going to handle and see next. So for this Virginia fight, I really kind of looked, I definitely knew it was supposed to be in Virginia, so I came back to Virginia, so I was super sad to leave my gym in Miami, because KO Zone was, I can't even say, it was such a perfect gym. I love that gym. Boxar was great. I mean, all those gyms were great, but I had to come back to Virginia because this fight is for Virginia. It's for the people here, so I want to give love to that. So I'm kind of been making my circles around the Virginia gyms, whether it be with Reggie in Norfolk. Primarily, I'm at Lux Boxing Gym, which is in Danville, and man, I love the city of Danville. That's why I always put I'm fighting out of Danville. By way of Miami or wherever I'm at, but Danville's always included in my bigger picture, because they mean that much to me. And I've been going to Buena Vista as well, which is more northern Virginia, which there's a gym there that has some southpaws in it that I've been visiting and getting some work in, and they actually coached me through 2 professional boxing matches. So kind of go back there, and like again, always, I feel like, you know, I probably have so many life mottos, but, you know, it's full circle. I really like to go back, and I wish there was 8 of me and I could, you know, be everywhere at once, but I sometimes have to kind of split up my time. But I just want everyone to know they're not forgotten and they're needed, and at some point in time, they made me who I was, and Buena Vista was definitely that. Danville's definitely that. Reggie out in Norfolk is definitely that. I got a new teammate, too, Dimitri, who is also going to be on the card, so I have to shout out him and his manager, Jessica. You know, I got to work with their team, with Coach Will, and, you know, that was really amazing. That was something new. So I think that's important, too. Like, every fight camp, I always try to have something new that's, like, different and inspires us. Because, you know, we never want to plateau. We never want to get comfortable. We never want to make our lives familiar, because once you start getting familiar, you kind of lose the magic, you lose the passion. So they were definitely the passion for me there, was working with those guys for the first time and building that relationship, and I wish them all the best in the fight, and can't wait to revisit them and see them again.
Yeah, and that's awesome to hear. Like, I love hearing about the grassroots connections to the area and everything. I mean, especially because just in, like, doing my backgrounding on you, like, it seemed like you kind of grew up as, like, a military brat, and were kind of, like, moving around, like, even a few different countries for a period, but, like, settling into Virginia when you were 10 years old. Like, what do you think it is about, I guess, Virginia that, like, represents home to you? Like I said, you were kind of, like, moving around a fair bit in the kind of earlier stages. Like, is there a certain, like, ethos or a certain something to Virginia where it really resonated to you that this is home?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because yeah, as a kid, I always used to complain about it, because, you know, we changed schools and new schools all the time. I was a new kid, and, you know, I moved around a lot of different places. I lived in Turkey and Germany and North Carolina and Utah before I even made it to Virginia. And so it's kind of funny now when, like, look at the psychology piece, like, oh, you know, what happens to you as a child kind of shapes who you are as an adult. And now I can really see that, like, sit back and be like, huh, No wonder why I move around a lot, you know? It's just who I am in my blood, how I was raised, and I look at it and I'm very thankful for that because I feel like I can adapt and fit in anywhere and love it. And yeah, for Virginia, so I graduated from high school. I definitely, again, didn't like it. You know, I always complained about it. I was like, man, I don't want to be here. You know, I'm meant for something bigger, such as like Miami or Los Angeles. Like, you always look at those, especially when you grew up in Europe, you look at those places as the highlights. But I graduated from high school, and then I had my children super young. And so I think, honestly, wholeheartedly, deep down, the reason why Virginia is really, truly home for me is this is where I had the most two beautiful, most important people in my whole entire life are my son, Peyton, and my daughter, Paris. And they were born here in Lynchburg, Virginia. And so that's what makes me come back, because those memories, you know, giving birth and having them as a baby and having them be my whole world, you know, I always come back and look for those memories. You know, it's kind of sad in some aspects, but, you know, it's beautiful as well. And I know that they're super proud of me and love me, and I'm super proud of them. And so I always just come back to revisit those, like, those days, you know, when people say, yeah, time is like the most precious thing you have, because once it's gone, you don't get it back. And coming back to Virginia just reminds me, you know, especially the Sandville gym. You know, when Paris was a baby, she used to sit in the corner in her little car seat while I worked out. She was here every day from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. for like 2 years. So I'll never forget that. You know, and I did. I graduated from Lynchburg College, and then I got my master's at ODU. So I'm actually a Monarch, too, so there are so many reasons why Virginia is home, even though, you know, I wasn't born here, and I move away a lot, it seems. I really, truly think those two amazing babies will be the reason why this is always home.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear, just, like, the, you know, backstory and everything like that. I mean, you love to hear that for sure, but I guess even, like, sort of in that context, I'm kind of curious, because I was noticing, like, relatively recently that, you know, Peyton kind of, you know, became a teenager there. And you also mentioned your daughter and everything. Like, what's the dynamic with them with your, I guess, fighting endeavors? Like, is there a certain sense of, like, oh, I'm checking out the fights live, I'm, like, cheering you on kind of thing? Is it more of, like, a, you know, peeking through the fingers kind of thing? Is it, like, a tell me about it after so I know you're okay kind of thing? Like, what's the temperament in that sense?
So it's funny. It always seems like, you know, every parent has to deal with this. Whatever they love, it's like their kids don't want to do it. So if you're into football, your kids don't want to do it. If you're into softball, your kids don't want to do it. So funny enough, my son, he does not like it. He doesn't like it at all. He's definitely been in the gym, and I felt like it's important for every child to try it, and I want them to feel confident and know what it's like. So he knows. You know, he knows his numbers and punches. He knows what punches are what. And he's sparred before. And it's not his thing. That's cool. He tried it. He doesn't like it, and he does not like to watch. He's definitely one of those, I'm going to go sit in the corner and not even peek through your fingers. So, you know, sometimes that's like, but he's, you know, he's an awesome kid. Like I said, he tried it, so that's all I can be super happy. He's into sports. He likes soccer and archery, but definitely not a fan. If he wanted to come, he would not come to my fights. He definitely wouldn't. And I, you know, I don't know if he's, like, scared that I'm going to get hurt, or he's never really expressed that. He just says that he just doesn't like it. It's just not his thing. And I can kind of see that to be true to his nature. My daughter, on the other hand, she was definitely my ride or die little sidekick for the longest time. Like I said, she used to be in the gym every day. She grew up, I mean, she was really honestly raised in the gym. And she's been to several of my fights. She can hold pads for, she'll hold pads for other little kids. And she does a damn good job. She really does. She's sparred, and she does an amazing job sparring. But I think, you know, her passion and drive is theater. So, you know, she really, you know, she'll do it if she's in there. But, you know, she definitely won't be asking to do it. But if she's sitting around, she'll pick up some mitts or pick up some gloves and try it for a bit. She has gone to, She went to my Beck Rawlings fight and was actually a big part of my camp because she stayed because it was in the summertime. So she was with me. So she actually got to go through training camp with me for bare knuckle. So that also was like, oh my God, it was huge to me. She went to my practices. She saw all the things. And then we got it approved that she got to be in the locker room with us. And it was so cute. I have so many cool stories about it, but I mean, we'll wrap it up. But basically, she wanted to watch. I was like, yeah, she's sitting in the locker room with me. We'll be together. It's all good. But she was like, no, I want to go watch the fight. And I'm like, all right, let's go ahead and get this over with because I know she's going to hate it because bare knuckle is different than boxing. And so we go out there. She gets mad at us because we made her miss the walkout song. I'm like, oh, there's going to be plenty more bears. Don't worry. And she comes out there. She loves it. We ask, you know, hey, you want to go back to the locker room? She's like, no, I want to watch the rest of the fight. She sat up there all night, watched every single fight, even got, like, you know, emotional. Like, when we were talking, she was like, I cried when Elvin lost. And I was like, oh, baby. And she knew all the fighters' names. And then it was a really cool moment because at the end, you know, sometimes I feel really stressed and anxiety, like, you know, I am a people's champ. Like, I need to give that attention to all these people who came out to support me, you know, take pictures, talk to them, because everybody wants to. You know, that's a big, important part. And, you know, but Paris is there, so I'm talking to all these people. I get lost in the commotion. I'm like, oh, man, you know, she's probably been waiting for an hour or two, and it's midnight. I go and rush up to her and find her, give her the biggest hug and twirl around. She's so happy. And I apologize for taking so long. And she's like, oh, no, it's okay. And I told them that you were in the doctor. You had to do your concussion test. And then you have to do this. And then you have to sign a bunch of pictures. And I was just like, look at her. I was like, wow. She was in the fighter meeting. So she saw the actual process. Not the just the fighter goes in the ring and dishes it out. Like, she saw the actual life of a fighter. Like, all right, when you're done, you got to go do this concussion test. You got to check out by the doctor. You got to go in here and get your check. You got to clean up your locker room, you know. And the fact that she got to see that and be knowledgeable and tell other people, oh, I'm fine. My mom's probably just doing a concussion test right now. I was like, wow, that's really cool. So I'm super blessed we have that relationship. It is a bit sad, too. You know, I'll go with, like, everything in life is the pros and cons. But I just recently found out, I said that she was in the theater. She's actually starring in a play. Sleeping Beauty, which is a production that she does, you know, that's extra. She actually goes to theater school, and the night of her play is the 24th.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, it was, like, super, super heart-crushing in that fact, but we're both handling it really good, and we're looking at it as, like, wow, we're both, and this is really what it's about, you know, again, full circle, like, I do this for others so they can follow their dreams, so they're not scared to follow it and do it. And my daughter saw me go through this crazy fight journey, boxing journey, and now she sees all the benefits and the great things that I've got from it. So now look what she's doing. She's starring in a theater role, you know, and performing in front of a bunch of people. And, you know, I just like to think that maybe I inspired her and gave her the courage to try that and do that. And it kind of is amazing that we're both performing. It sucks we're going to miss each other's big night, but we're both performing because we're following our dream and following our heart.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure you both have, like, the same kind of feeling, like a certain sense of being happy about, you know, what you're readying to do, but also wanting to be there for the other. So, yeah, I appreciate you, giving that level of insight, but kind of pivoting to bit of a different kind of relationship. I guess I'm sort of curious about, you know, this upcoming rematch with Jenny Savage here, because it seemed like when you guys fought the first time at BKFC 19, there was, like, a fair bit of bad blood, and I saw an IG post, like, from the first fight, you were, like, whispering to Jenny afterwards, and you captioned it, "Psst, I'm gonna whoop your ass again," and all that, which I thought was kind of funny, like, being a little, you know, playful with it. I guess I'm kind of curious for this rematch, like, is the bad blood, like, to the same degree, is it maybe a bit greater? And I guess as an extension of that, like, do you see anything different Jenny Savage is going to bring to the table for this rematch compared to the first fight? I guess what's different from the first fight compared to the second fight, if anything at all?
Oh, it's absolutely worse. It's like 20 times worse. The first fight was the bad blood because she got in the ring with me with the Paige VanZant moment, and that was a big, crazy, you know, hoopla. But, you know, she didn't need to do that, and it was just just dumb. So that's the reason why that fight was made. After the fight, you know, I'm thinking, this is what happens, and this is why combat sports can be beautiful. You know, you got two people that hate each other, they go dish it out of the ring, and then now they have respect for each other, or the beef is squashed. But apparently it wasn't, because, you know, I remember trying to be very nice to her afterwards, and she was nice to me, and she was nice to my friends and my family. You know, telling her, oh, you raised an amazing girl. She's awesome. My opponent's pretty cool and things like that. We send a couple private messages to each other that are nice and on the positive side. And then all of a sudden, you know, there'd be like someone would send me a screenshot of some stupid thing that she said. You know, she'd say, like, comment on my hair being gross and nasty and not braided right, or, you know, just personal attacks like that. You know, making excuses why she lost the fight, bringing up a bunch of rumors and gossip. And then, you know, she blocks me, so I can't respond and say anything back. So I'm just like, you know what, I'm just going to ignore this crazy girl. It doesn't even make any sense anyways, because I clearly have the video footage of me, like, not even beating her, but, like, dogging her. Like, man, I really gave it to her. So I just don't get, like, where you can really get your ass whooped that bad and still talk shit about somebody. And, you know, she was just goating me all the time. But like I said, I couldn't say anything because I was blocked. But everybody else who's mutual friends and screenshots. So it's just been in my mind for, like, the past year. And I just ignore it because I got bigger fish to fry. But then it was, like, the belt. When I got the belt in Montana in September, that's when it started to be a little bit over the line, in my opinion, because she was like, you know, making all these posts that I don't deserve the belt, I don't deserve to be, you know, the BKFC's playing favorite, that I've never fought at 115. When it's like, man, I sacrificed and have had, you know, I'm going on my 10th fight. This is her 5th fight. So I now have double the amount of fights that you have, little girl, you know? Like, I've literally bled and sacrificed, lost my tooth, broke my hand, broke my nose. I have cuts on my face. Like, I sacrificed my body for this sport. How dare you say I don't deserve the belt? You know, but whatever. Move on. We're never going to have this rematch, right? I'm thinking in my head, that's why I never gave her the time of day. And it was just that easy to ignore, because this rematch is never going to happen unless Jenny Savage does something spectacular. And I guess her knocking out, like, this cardboard box was spectacular. But, you know, to me, I didn't, you know, the girl just wasn't ready. She walked in, she was super stiff. You know, she sat down, she wasn't like, again, that she busted the girl open or knocked the girl out cold. The girl just didn't want anymore. You know, she got up and she just didn't want to fight anymore. Maybe it was a first bare knuckle fight. She wasn't ready. I don't know. But to me, it wasn't spectacular. If you look up that girl, she's only been boxing for 4 or 5 months. Like, she has no experience whatsoever. And I don't mean to, like, be mean to her, like, that opponent, because, I mean, we respect everyone that gets in the ring. But, like, these are just facts. It's not a spectacular win. And so, even when I was with the belt, winning the belt, she was all, go get him, champ. You got this, champ, being all nice and friendly. And I was like, oh, my God, like, just focus on Trista. Like, just focus on this belt. I'm really trying to ignore this girl. Finally, after, like, the third fake-ass thing she said to me, I'm like, didn't you tell everybody that I don't deserve this belt? Aren't you making a bunch of posts, like, talking crap about me? Why are you talking to me right now? And I did it in front of everybody. That was in the hotel lobby for BKFC Montana. And she was like, oh, no, I never said you didn't deserve the belt. I never once said that. And I'm just like, man, I got the screenshot on my phone. Just leave me alone, Jenny Savage. So then after the fight, you know, she keeps going on. She said this ridiculous. She said that I didn't want to fight her because I was on performance-enhancing drugs. And I'm like, what? Like, you know, I mean, maybe I should be flattered that it looks like that, because I feel like I'm probably one of the most non-muscular girls on the BKFC roster. I wish that, you know, people always are like criticizing me that I need to put on more muscle or I need to work on my power, that, you know, I lack power, you know, whatever, this, I need to start strength training. So it's kind of funny that she would say that. I'm like, what would lead you, Jenny Savas, to think this? And she goes, oh, because you were running on a treadmill. You were running on a treadmill the day before your fight. And anyone who runs on a treadmill before a fight, yeah, you have to be on something. So I'm just thinking in my head, well, damn. One, that's not true. I hate running on treadmills. I despise running on treadmills. But three, even if I was running on a treadmill, who cares? Like, I'm a professional athlete. Like, I hope I can run on a treadmill and go win a fight. Like, if I can't, that might be concerning. I don't know really what athletes are out there that you can't be supporting that can't run the day before they have a fight at a professional level. And so anyways, that gave me some motivation. You'll see, if you guys follow me on my Instagram, every day I've been posting me running on the treadmill, drinking a Minute Maid juice, you know, as a way of, like, showing, let's go, guys. Like, if your enemies and people out there really going to make stupid lies and gossip about you, use it as fuel, like legit fuel. Guess what? Now, thanks to you, Jenny Savage, I hate running on the treadmill. I never want to do it. But damn, guess who's been running on the treadmill every day? Wow, it's actually really improved my game. Like, man, I got really good leg power now, and I'm really moving really good. It's really helping my cardio, and so I have to thank my enemies for the motivation, and I can physically display it and show it for everyone to see that, you know, how crazy this is, but at the same time, I'm going to use every ounce of it as motivation to go in here on March 24th. And I said that's why I chose Minute Maid, because I'm going to knock her out in a minute.
I was going to say, I was very excited for this, you know, beforehand, but, you know, definitely compounded that much more after, you know, talking to you and getting some insights from you, and kind of lost track of time talking to you a little bit. I want to be mindful of your time and schedule, though. I'm sure there's a ton of questions I can ask you. You've done a lot of great stuff in the sport and everything like that, but just in being mindful of your schedule, Britton, is there any parting final thought you might want to add as we're wrapping up here?
No, it's been absolutely fun talking to you about this and getting and being able to actually, like, articulate my feelings and the purpose of being, or for my actions, because I promise you guys, every single action I have is with purpose, and so I have a purpose for it. I do mean that from the bottom of my heart. I really am a reflection of all the people that are pouring love into me. I do have to thank my sponsors. Canamana is really, honestly, they helped my, I was suffering from tennis elbow. If you guys look back at my post earlier in the training camp, I really had this tennis elbow that was really problematic, but since using and being with them, I don't even wear my elbow brace anymore, so I'm super thankful to them for that. So big, big shout out for helping my recovery process. And then What's Popping Popcorn. You guys are definitely need your popcorn out for this fight, so that just makes sense. DM Building, Nat Fit San Diego, and Ray Neff are out in California. They've been amazing part of my family. They haven't been with me just one fight, but, like, basically since the first Jenny Savage fight, so that was like 5-6 fights ago, you know, a year and a half. So it's amazing to kind of have that support, and the people in Danville, Virginia, at Lux Boxing Gym, really been making everything great.
Yeah, a lot of great shout outs there and a lot of great insights had throughout this chat, which I appreciate. And yeah, very much excited for this fight at BKFC 39 on March 24th, and yeah, it should be a great co-main event title defense. And I mean, based on what you're saying too, obviously a lot going into the rematch with Jenny Savage as well. So again, thanks so much, Britton, and looking forward to checking out that fight. But until then, you have a good rest of your day.
All right, thank you. You too. I look forward to it.